AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on another big night in the Scottish Premiership. Pressure mounts on Philippe Clement following another away day disappointment, leaving Rangers 15 points behind. Brendan Rodgers wants people to remember Celtic's part in all of this, although faces serious injury worries ahead of the trip to Ross County and a big weekend up and down the leagues if, of course, the weather calms itself down. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight in a studio that feels like it's minus three, Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans.
Well, we started the week with a Brendan Rodgers controversy and we're ending the week with a Philippe Clement controversy because the Rangers fans have given up on Clement. The club have not, and that means we have a standoff. Now, managers tend not to survive in defiance of the supporters, but is Clement an exception to the rule? Either way, Rangers have got trouble on their hands, and I think with the atmosphere at Ibrox on Sunday when St Johnstone go there will be frostier than the weather, Scott.
This time last week, 1 week ago, you two sat in here poring over Rangers' victory against Celtic. Yep. You know, maybe it was a sign of things to come. Things don't stay still in Scottish football for very long, do they?
No, they don't. And Rangers' performances, Sam, with that Celtic game Sam was in, have been nothing short of really disappointing again last night, which is now, I think, for us obviously watching the games, Philippe Clement and the Rangers team, and most importantly the fans, the norm for this Rangers side, and that's another away defeat.
Okay, then.
Sorry.
Away.
Poor performance.
Feels like a defeat.
Very nearly was a defeat.
Quick, what's the saying for the millionth time?
A draw's a disaster, a defeat's a catastrophe.
0141-951-1025. Give us all your thoughts on Dens Park last night, specifically in terms of where it went wrong and which players didn't step up to the mark and what Philippe Clement got wrong. And then that wider picture. Rangers fans, we have done this dance before this season, but it's developing, it's getting added to because the away form just gets worse. It's now 3 wins in 11. The gap is now 15 points. I see you on social media, and I know that can be a mad place, but so many people perhaps expecting or hoping that there would be managerial news of some description today. That's not the case. Philippe Clement took training, he's getting ready for St Johnstone on Sunday. So how do you feel about it all? Sum it all up for us Rangers fans right now. 0141-951-1025. Brendan Rodgers says it's important to remember that gap's only there because of Celtic's consistency. So Celtic fans, you might want to praise your own team. And I love a good debate about who should play. So pick your wingers for tomorrow, because Nicholas Kuhn and Daizen Maeda are unlikely to make the trip to Ross County. James Forrest's already out. Luis Palma's out. So who plays? You're nearly at the stage of giving Hugh Keevans a pair of boots and sticking him on the left wing.
And I know who I'll replace.
Well, I thought you might have a problem with him, but he'll play. Yang, I think, is fit and available. So who else? Give us your solutions. Is Kyogo going out there? Luke McCowan's someone else that we've not thought of. How do you solve that issue tomorrow, Celtic fans? And does it worry you? Dingwall away can be difficult. Or will the backup cast have enough to get through? Whoever you support, I'm sure your team's involved over the coming days. So give us a call on 0141-951-1025 and we will go through the lot. The games are just thick and fast, Hugh Keevans.
Yeah, of course. And there's mounting tension at Ibrox, and that's always a big story within Scottish football, as it would be if it were mounting tension at Celtic Park. I think that Brendan Rodgers is quite right to point out that the consistency of his team is what has created this 15-point gap, apart from one afternoon on the 2nd of January at Ibrox. And it's the inconsistency of Philippe Clement's team that has helped create that gap. Now, St Johnstone on Sunday, surely there can be no way Philippe Clement and the players can mess that one up against the bottom club. But big weekend, Aberdeen Hearts on Sunday as well. Two teams who could definitely be doing with the result. So it's bubbling away nicely.
It's difficult to say anything new about the games in isolation, Scott, because it is just the same kind of story away from home. That's four in a row. They've only won 3 out of the 11. Everyone's almost learned the stats off by heart now, and you just add one on to the next one. But four in a row over that sort of festive period of fixtures, if you like. So the games itself feel the same, but like I say, everyone that ticks off, it just gets worse for Philippe Clement, I'd imagine.
Yeah, obviously the pressure, the players start to feel it. I think obviously the way the fans were on the left apart, that tells you everything they think about the performance. But once it just snowballs and they're constantly looking for that result, in fairness, I felt for the first half against Hibs, they were well worthy, obviously, of the two goals. It was when Hibs actually dropped back into a back five and frustrated Rangers where the problems came, and it seems to be the case any time away from home where the opposition team makes it stuffy for them, they just don't have the answers.
That's the thing, Hugh. People think they've figured this out, and I think we all sort of agree. Rangers, if they've got most of the ball, they find it hard to break teams down. That tends to happen away from home and so on. But that people are almost saying that as if it's, you know, understandable. None of that can be understandable if you're the big teams here, can it?
No. When I walked into the living room this morning and saw you on the telly standing outside Ibrox, I thought, have they sacked him? But it is a big problem for Rangers, because the fans, the Rangers Supporters Association, by social media, asked for him to be removed. The fans at the end of the game at Dens Park last night were absolutely certain they wanted him removed. So every move he makes now, the fans are watching very carefully. He's got to have a good day against St Johnson, or this gets worse.
Rangers fans, what is on your mind tonight? A lot, I would imagine, and some stuff that you probably can't say on a family show, but let's give it a bash on 01419511025. The manager, Philippe Clement, says he understands your frustrations after the draw in Dundee, but insists he has the 200% backing of the board.
Yes, of course they're unhappy today. We are also unhappy. We're all of us unhappy to lose these 3 points. And supporters are always behind us when we are good, when we play good, when we play good games. So today it was not a good game. So I understand that they're unhappy about it. I know these supporters, that they don't give up the moment we show quality. It's about us showing the quality on the pitch, and then they're directly behind the team, always. So it's our task to do that as fast as possible. That starts on Sunday. To show quality again and on both sides of the game. Yeah, because we have every day talks about everything, about January, about next season, about everything.
So you're confident that they are still behind you 100%?
Yes, 200%, yes.
Can't argue with 200%.
Well, you can, because there's no such thing. But he says the Rangers supporters don't give up. Sorry, they have.
We'll have you, Rangers fans. Answer the man. 01419511025. Stephen is first through. Keep it clean, Stephen. How are you feeling tonight?
I'll try my best. To be honest, after the result last night, I was kind of content with that, because it just showed this guy up for what he is. You know, the compulsive liar, the guy that makes all the excuses. Dundee had an excuse last night, 10 players out. 10 players out, Dundee, right? We can't beat them. We had over 40 million worth of talent in that squad last night, and we can't beat Dundee with 10 men out. So, like, I don't know. I think it's getting to the point now. You know, I hear some Rangers fans giving it all this stuff about, we need stability, we can't sack another manager. Well, if the manager's awful, we can, and we need to. We need a good manager in place. So I think it's got to the point now that the fans need to act, and the fans need to start boycotting games. I did that many years ago to get the likes of Charles Green out. I lost my seat I'd had for 20 years at Ibrox, or over 20 years, by not renewing my season ticket. If the fans don't turn up to the ground, if they stop buying tickets, the board will act. So the board, we need to do that if the board wouldn't act, but I'm still hoping that in the coming days, Patrick Stewart's new in the job. He's got a big decision to make, and he's got to make it. If he understands this club and what we're all about, and I hope we see that, I hope he makes the decision that he needs to make now.
I think it's okay for you, Stephen, to advocate that kind of protest move. I always think it's wrong for people in our line of work to do that, because we're here to promote the game of football, not to provoke people into not going. But I did say at the start of the programme that the fans are empowered in only one way, and that is by their attendance or non-attendance at football matches. And Rangers have got themselves into that situation now where they are clearly not of a mind to get rid of Philippe Clement, but the fans no longer want him. And I thought the reaction of the fans at Dens last night was particularly strong. It was Michael Beale-like, the day that Michael Beale lost to Aberdeen at Ibrox, and the fans reacted in a way that left the club with no choice but to remove him. When you're losing the hardcore who are willing to go to Dundee on a Thursday night, on a frozen Thursday night, and possibly get back home after midnight, when you've lost them, you've lost a lot.
Where is the manager for you tonight, Scott? Because fans are allowed to get emotional and lash out a bit. Well, and certainly social media, we all know that that can be a breeding ground for extreme views and negativity. But I mean, is this time where that, you know, a serious conversation should be taking place?
Yeah, I think for me, I think he's had plenty of opportunities with every interview. It's basically rinse and repeat. I think the comment he made about the fans backing quality, yes, but quality's fits and starts. Real quality, but Rangers fans are demanding is consistency. And I don't quite think Philippe Clement understands that. I see it in the performance. Anytime a team is set up to frustrate Rangers, they don't have the answers. And you can't rely on just that one win against Celtic to kind of get you through for me.
He was actually lucky last night.
Yeah, he was.
Because Dundee, I thought, would do a penalty for the challenge on Murray. And Rangers went up the park and scored. I mean, VAR was correct to rule out the second goal that Dundee scored, but he was an inch away from losing at Dens Park, and that would have made it even worse today.
How would you sum up the performance last night, Stephen?
The usual nonsense. You know, the usual. See, this is the style that these continental style managers, and I include Beale in that, although he's British, but this possession based and, you know, don't play with any great real pace or intent, dominate possession, hope that your quality will shine through. And it's not worked. It didn't work for them and they needed to go, and it's the same with him. So we need a manager with a dynamic approach. I want Kevin Muscat. I wanted him when Clement got the job, and I think we need somebody like that who will come in and inspire players and come in with a relentless style. Because look, these we see that this is the thing. In Europe, we've performed well against very good teams. We annihilated Celtic very recently, but the problem is we need to beat these teams in the Scottish Premier League. Like we need a manager that can just simply, with a much superior budget to the other teams in the league, beat these teams. I mean, I mentioned the money thing because Clement mentions it. He mentions it all the time. He's talking the other day about Celtic bringing X amount off the bench in games that he shouldn't be paying attention to. He's got more in his plate to worry about. So if he wants to talk about money, why is he not talking about the squad value of Dundee last night with 10 players out? What was it, a million maybe?
Yeah, I think that's ridiculous. I understand why Stephen brings that up, Scott, because we've always said this in isolation. Of course you can go to Dens Park and drop points and apply that to Easter Road and to Fir Park and Paisley and Pittodrie. But when you do it all, like pretty much consecutively, there's clearly a bit of an issue there.
Yeah, there's problems, no question. That was my point at the top of the show. This has became the norm for Rangers fans when they are travelling to these away games. Obviously, Stephen likes the idea of Kevin Muscat. For me, I get that dynamic approach. That was what you did see. You have seen these players playing that style against Celtic, obviously in that Old Firm fixture. But I'll go back to it again. As soon as the game is different and there's different challenges. They just don't have the answers. Is that down to purely the manager? Not for me. I think it's down to the quality of the players.
So what quality? Does physicality come into it? Does mentality come into it?
Mentality absolutely comes into it. Yeah, I think you question some of the Rangers players, whether they know how much every game means, and they should be striving for that consistency. But ultimately, breaking down opposition sides who make it stuffy, you need real quality, and I just don't feel Rangers have real quality.
Hugh, just on Stephen's ultimate point, like I'm sure many people who will call tonight, is that he wants to see managerial change. Are the Rangers fans right to call for that? As an example, to make their worst nightmares come through, you're the man making the decision.
Yeah.
Are you making it?
The fans are within their rights to call for it.
But do you agree with those calls, though?
I do. I think there is a mentality problem at Rangers. I wonder, because we listen to him and Stephen on the line listens to him and he goes on and on and on. And you wonder, you know, he's boring us. Does he bore his own players?
That's a good point here.
Yeah, you know, when Martin Boyle scored against Rangers last weekend at Easter Road to make it 2-1 for Rangers, I said at the time, the Rangers players are now experiencing flashbacks. Yep. And they deal in flashbacks. Flashbacks of Paisley, Motherwell, now Easter Road, now Dens Park. How much longer?
Stephen, you clearly want managerial change. Yep. In more of a prediction sense, do you think you'll get it? Do you think this, I mean, it's clearly not as imminent as you would have hoped. He took training today, it's business as usual, St Johnstone coming up, and you would, based on this season, expect Rangers to win that game. It's at Ibrox. Do you think you will experience managerial change?
Well, to be fair, with this board, anything could happen, and to be honest, it wouldn't surprise me if they came out and gave him another contract extension after what happened before. But in all seriousness, I don't know what they're thinking, but I do know that the fans, I hope, won't put up with this. And like I say, I know, I appreciate Hugh's sentiments with regards to encouraging, you know, fans to go to football and everything for the benefit of Scottish football and all that. But if we need to do something short term to get this man out, if the board don't act, the fans need to, and it's as simple as that.
Just for the avoidance of doubt, though, what is your ultimate response to those counter arguments that you brought up earlier on? Can't keep sacking managers, need some stability, possibly can't afford to sack them. You always sort of hear that. You just think none of that matters?
We can't afford not to sack him. Like, you look at the last few seasons, the managers who have all failed at the club, how much money have Celtic raked in just by winning the Scottish League and getting into the Champions League? And if we'd done the same, if we had the managers that could do the job, then it could be a completely different scenario that we're looking at right now.
Can you realistically expect to be above Celtic, or is this about getting closer?
Look, so everyone talks about the money Celtic have got and the money we've got. Forget, let's move Celtic out of the equation right now. We can't beat Dundee, who have got 10 men out their squad, and the list is many of teams that have taken points off us that have a fraction of our budget. Forget Celtic for a second. We should be winning at least 90% of our games against these other teams, and it's no even close. And we've shown it with the performances against Celtic. We annihilated them. Nice, we beat them 4-1. They hadn't lost at home in Europe or domestic. PSG had come and gone, hadn't beat them. And we battered them. We battered Steaua Bucharest. We've got players can get up for big games themselves. But see, when you go to Dundee on a cold Thursday night, your manager needs to get it out of you. He needs to make it clear that anything other than a win is unacceptable.
Thank you very much.
I don't think this man is up to it. So
I think Stephen has made his feelings pretty clear. Oh, yeah. I think we would all agree. Do you out there agree or disagree with what you're hearing? Give us a call right now and we'll try and get you on next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. 1-951-1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen are here. Give us your calls, please, on 01419511025. Of course, events at Dens Park last night seem to be dominating. Let's hear from the standing skipper for the night, Robin Proper. Says they're much better than the team that played last night in that 1-1 draw against Dundee.
Yeah, that's difficult to say. We try really hard. Everybody wants it. We want to take the 3 points. We want to be happy and cheering with the fans, of course. They are there for us again. Of course, I'm frustrated as well. Everybody is frustrated because we want to win. We want to have the 3 points. And we are much better than this. I know that for sure. And yeah, we need to find a solution in that.
Rangers did have defensive injuries last night, Scott. Robin Proper was the captain, which I don't mean to sound cheeky, but that
shows you where they're at, yeah.
In a sense, I'm glad you said it. Is there any mitigation in that, or is it a bit more than last night anyway?
Yeah, obviously they're on a form, especially away from home. I wouldn't be taking the Dundee game in isolation. That is the norm now for this Rangers side, I think. Time for talking is probably over, especially with the fans. They want to see performances backed up on the pitch. They aren't getting it. Listen, Philip Clement's got a huge job in his hands, because I think that the next away fixture, I'm sure Dundee United away. I think I'm right. At this moment in time, you just can't predict Rangers winning that.
Philip Clement took Rangers to Dundee last season, drew.
Yep.
Booby trapped the challenge to Celtic for the title. Philippe Clement takes Rangers to Dundee this season, draw. Doesn't booby trap the championship, because Celtic have won it already, but he does drive the Rangers fans to the end of their tether. The reaction of the crowd behind the goal at Dens Park last night, for me, told you all you need to know. The Rangers fans, as a body, have had it with Philippe Clement.
Do you expect any change anytime soon?
No.
For what reason?
I just think financially, I don't think Rangers will be able to do it at this moment in time.
It's going to be interesting, Hugh, to see what the reaction is like on Sunday, because so what I said last night, you know, once you start to kind of lose the away fans, which it probably was as bad as it's looked last night, would that be fair? These are hardcore fans who, you know, go and brave the elements and all that sort of stuff. You wonder how different he felt seeing that reaction last night.
I think he was clearly aware of it, because he didn't attempt to go too close to the fans, didn't attempt to offer any sign of atonement or anything else. He'd just get out the way. And I can imagine there were voices around him saying, look, Gaffer, just get out the way.
Yeah, that's not an easy thing for a manager, especially after the form that Rangers have been on away from home. I think probably done the right thing last night for himself.
I think, you know, if Celtic, for example, were to win tomorrow in Dingwall, the gap becomes 18 points. Rangers fans wake up Sunday morning, think the gap's 18 points, it's Baltic out there, we're playing the bottom club, also the dullest team in the division. I'll leave it alone, thanks.
Jamie's on the line. How would you sum up the position that Rangers find themselves in, Jamie?
Where do you start, to be honest with you, Gordon? It's an absolute shambles. The club's a shambles. The club's been a shambles for being in the administration. As everybody has come into the club, has took control of the club. Murray left the club, all the other shillings have took out of the club, and they've took absolute mince out of all the fans. I feel sorry for the Rangers fans who go to the games, came and away, every game, came and away, supporting the club, and they're sitting, and these folk are taking all the money out of the club. I mean, you've got to give your plaudits to Celtic, because look at all that happened to them. All the Celtic fans were shouting at them for calling them the biscuit tin club and everything, but look at them now.
I think just before we go too close to that one, Jamie, about they're taking money out of the club, there's far more money being put in to the club, and by men who have not got it back. I do understand your point that in terms of business model, Celtic are way in advance of Rangers. But we have to be careful with that kind of thing, because an awful lot of money has been thrown at it.
You're not going to make much money out of Rangers.
No,
currently.
Not at all. And I go back to the Clement backstory. He comes over here and replaces Michael Beale, whose appointment never at all worked. And at first, he looks the part, and results are good, and he wins a trophy. And I remember writing myself at the time that he was the first serious man that Brendan Rodgers had faced in two stays as Celtic manager. Clement was the first.
Do you think people ever like to remind you of that?
Oh, frequently, only on a daily basis. But it did not work out that way. I fell for it. Many people fell for it. It's not happening for him now. And the Rangers fans, to a man, woman and child, have declared themselves. They don't want him at the club. But the club do. And that's why I say we have a standoff now.
I get why it might, to some Rangers fans, feel like a big snapshot. You know, life was never quite the same. You know, 2012 and all that stuff that Jamie mentions. But Rangers have won a league since then. They've been to a European final since then. They've won cups since then. I've no doubt it made it harder, and my goodness, we could fill a few shows with going over the history of that period. But that corner was turned, was it not? That was the point. And then I know there's a rebuild now, but I don't think it's that relevant to the current situation.
No, I don't think it is. I think ultimately, when Hugh's talking about the business model, I think Rangers don't have the right type of guys in the right places, whether that's recruitment. Obviously, the drama they had with trying to find a chairman to come in. I think all of that does add to the overall bleak picture in terms of this season, no question. Like you says, they've been to a European final. They've performed really well in Europe quite consistently now, obviously, after an administration. So I think just this season has been a real turning point for Rangers in terms of having to get the older players, obviously, off the wage bill that everybody at the time knew they had to do. As younger players came in, not as young as some people might think, but as a younger squad overall. And it's just a case where, for me, I think expectations need to be tethered a bit.
How does that work then? How does that work here, Hugh? I've done this show long enough and you tell me and everybody tells me that second is nowhere and it's all this bravado, and I get it, I'm not saying it's not true, but Scott's saying the expectations now can't be the same as they previously were. That must be a sobering thought for the Rangers fans.
And it's a correct assessment that Scott makes. However, fans, being human, they don't accept that. They will say, I am not prepared to lower my standards. This is Rangers Football Club. And therefore, you arrive at that impasse which we have now. The fans don't want Clement. The club won't let him go. So if this goes down any further, then the fans do then think along the lines of protest movements. It has happened before. It does work. But the club have taken the stance now, and the club must hope that their stance is the one that best suits Rangers.
How would you sum up these performances away from home, Jamie?
It's an absolute disgrace. Absolutely. Like, we shouldn't have... Like, We're not privileged. Many of the two old firm teams are privileged to go out there and think they can just turn up and beat anybody, because that isn't the way football works. And us as fans know that. And it's no... Can I just make a point? Another thing, I didn't mean that there was money was gone missing. What I mean is it's mismanagement. It's pure mismanagement for buying players that didn't fit the structure of the club. They didn't get the... Like, I think a lot of the players that come to Scotland didn't get it when they come to the big two clubs in Scotland. They didn't get the intensity, the how the fans want to win every game. And I think that's what the problem is today.
I've heard that before as well, for sure. Scott, because the big picture's now so important, the individual performances do get glossed over, but I know that's your sort of... favourite way of analysing things, the actual game and the way they're played. What specifically was wrong from a Rangers perspective last night? And by the way, we always should do it, credit to Dundee, it's always going to get lost. They were excellent. No Lyle Cameron, defensive injuries, a 19-year-old just off the plane from Mexico,
yep,
to get his first start in sub-zero temperatures.
So thought Salah was excellent in the game.
They did brilliant. What analyse the game itself. Where did it go wrong for Rangers?
It's just they don't have players, for me, who can play through the lines quick enough, especially when you need to move teams. I also, when it is a game like that, I don't think they have the same patience. So working the ball from side to side and then being able to play the incisive passes in areas where you can move a structured midfield about. And that, as I said at the top of the show, comes down to having real quality. I just don't see it. I think Barron again was disappointing in that position for Rangers. I don't think for me, yes, he has energy, but I think Rangers fans now can quite clearly see that what they want from a Rangers midfielder has got to be more than having good legs and getting about the pitch. They want quality.
What did you make of Eggermann's performance? Because he goes from the high of a tremendous hat-trick, perfect hat-trick at Easter Road on the Sunday. Did he suffer because of lack of service? Or?
This is another thing, though. The Rangers fans, if social media is anything to go by, are not happy about this because Philippe Clement, not blamed him, but he sort of used his name, didn't he, at some point, about some sort of weakness in his performance, I think, about drifting out wide or something along those lines.
That comes from frustration for not getting service.
The Rangers fans did not like that, though, because it's like, hold on a minute, he's the least of our problems. Don't bring him into it. You know, they still feel protective over him.
Yeah, well, with Eggermann obviously drifting out, as Philippe Clement said, that comes from frustration with not getting the ball. That's naturally what you would do. You could flip that and say, well, at least he's trying to have an impact somehow and affect the game, which he did, obviously had a hand in the equaliser. I just feel, for me, he's the one player who you should be building your team around at this moment in time.
It tends to matter a bit less when there's a much bigger picture, like I say, but just your own take, you thought Dundee should have had a penalty?
Yeah, I thought it was a penalty.
Did you? In the build-up to Rangers' goal? Because I've seen it described as a, you know, just a coming together, natural football contact, no?
Natural, but it's in the box. For me, I would be asking for a penalty if I was a player.
I can only guess that they were still looking at it in Clydesdale House when Rangers scored.
Yeah, but that's fine, that's allowed. You know, the goal can then be chopped off and a penalty can be given. I don't think we've had any proper moments like that, but well, you've seen it, you can, you know, across the world, that since VAR's been introduced, that's allowed. You know?
I have to say, you know, the referee, the man at the ground, that was a perfectly obvious decision to take.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. I think even with the Rangers goal, it just shows you, though, obviously the Dundee players are complaining. They're not in a structure. One pass, had you a bit of quality, Eggermann then finds Cherney with a real bit of quality, all when it's not against a structured back four in midfield.
Incidentally, I noticed that the KMI panel's results today said that the referee got the Hibs penalty, the foul by Yanis Hadji, got it right. But we've moved on so much now, the other things have taken over. It's just made Philippe Clement's evening even worse. Right, thank you to Jamie. What about Paul? What's on your mind, Paul?
Hi, Gordon. How's it?
Hello.
Gordon, I'm thinking, the boy was already earlier was talking about international managers with Muscat and different people and sacking managers left, right and centre. Why don't we just put Barry Ferguson and McCulloch and Kevin Thompson in charge, even to the end of the season? It's going to be about a month of goat. They're already working at the club. They're Rangers diehards. They'll fight for the club. They'll show a bit of fight. Do you know what I mean? It's,
is that enough?
I mean, another international manager, and here we'll be again in 12 months' time.
How do you get around the fact that they don't want to let Philippe Clement go in the first place?
Well, you go one way or the other, as you know. It happened with Beale, it happened with, you know, as soon as he's lost his dressing room as well, he's lost his fans, they'll never get rid of him.
But if the club are intent on keeping Philippe Clement, then there's no point in discussing anybody's name because they are the custodians of the club and they are determined to stand by him.
Is there not more to this, though, Paul, this notion that, you know, take whatever one of the names you meant, you know, Barry Ferguson knows Rangers and likes Rangers and therefore that...
Is the Rangers diehard already in that changing room? And Alex...
What would putting Barry Ferguson in charge achieve?
He just knows the Scottish League. He knows how to win away for Rangers, away for home. He'll know bottle it. Do you know what I mean? It's just they went through a Beale. I mean, this time 4 years ago we were 19 points ahead of Celtic.
I always think there needs to be are we too insular when it comes to this stuff?
Sure.
I feel like the one guy that should have blown this out of the water forever was Ange Postecoglou, because everybody said it, right? He came, he certainly didn't know the league, whatever it means. Yeah. He was from miles away. He didn't even bring his own coaching staff, and he had a kind of rebuild. Yes, I know Celtic have got money and all that sorts of stuff, but should he not be the moment that we just ditched a lot of that stuff, well, Scott? Or are Rangers' circumstances so different somehow that actually they do need some of this?
Yeah, I do feel they need a bit of it, but like I said, if we're going down the Rangers fan, the diehard route, then Alex Rea is in that dressing room at this moment in time and hasn't quite had that effect. Barry Ferguson, as much as he was a fantastic player and he has coached, it was a long time ago and the league has changed. But would that be any worse in what they're seeing away from home at this time of the season? Maybe it wouldn't be, but it's all hypothetical.
It's almost an innocent way of looking at it. He's a Rangers man, therefore... Well, no, therefore nothing. He's either right for the job or not. And the point Gordon made about Ange Postecoglou, he came in, first six league games, he lost 50% of them. The next 32 league games, he lost none of them and won the title. So it took Ange Postecoglou roughly half a dozen games to work out Scottish football, and then he just didn't stop winning.
Is it not all a bit sort of random, Paul, as well? I know Kevin Thompson had a very good spell at Kelty, and people have been watching with interest and expecting him to get another job at some point. Lee McCulloch, I think, is there in an ambassadorial role at Rangers, is that right? Barry Ferguson, you pick up the phone to these guys and say, all three of them, I just don't get the plan.
I've been obviously holding out for this job because they've been offered better jobs, Barry as well, and the sister standing by waiting, just waiting on the opportunity.
I don't think they would be, to be fair. That otherwise, so what, every ex-Rangers player who's got some sort of strong connection?
No, it's not even with it, just ex-Rangers, Gordon, it's just...
Well, it can't be much else.
If that's the case, we could have put loads of people in the frame, but, Bomber Brown or, Cole, but it's not the case. It's just different with Barry Ferguson, because look where Barry started with Rangers. He knows what it's all about.
Do you know the problem with this conversation? Because I have absolutely nothing against Barry Ferguson, and it kind of sounds like you put up the counter to Paul's point. It would obviously make very little difference to me. I just don't get it, Scott. I think that would be the best way of putting it. He's not coaching at any notable level currently.
No, he gets a club. If you were to go with A3, Barry Ferguson, Kevin Thompson, both managers, Lee McCulloch, after being assistant, will be looking to be a manager. So the dynamic of that, if you're from a personal standpoint, it wouldn't work, because you would have three managers technically, which you always need to have one chief in terms of a football club. So for me, I understand the fact that he's a Rangers fan and he knows what it's about, but a club like Rangers, you need to have someone with real quality and experience who can come in.
Sorry, Hugh, I didn't realise how late we were. So thank Paul for his suggestion. You can agree to disagree on it, and we will tell you about this first.
Every day is payday.
Yes, Rachel was cleaning out a barn. Things you never thought you would hear when she got the £200,000 phone call. Oof. Imagine that, you drop that shovel, wouldn't you? Whatever it was you were shoveling is going to be put to one side on every day's payday. The entries reset at 3 p.m. today, so if you've not entered since then, you'll need to do it, because there's now a massive £225,000 to be won next Friday, guaranteed. Plus, you could be your next daily winner of £2,025. That's right, every day is payday, so you can even win on Saturdays and Sundays as well. Text YES to 61025. That's YES 61025. You get two entries for the price of one text. Texts are 250 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at Clyde1.com for 250 or call 0330 880 4523. And the calls are charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only, and all the rules for this Rayo Network competition are online. The lines close 3 p.m. Friday, so for your chance to win the £225,000, and even then, on top of that, if you enter before 3 p.m. tomorrow, you can be in the draw for the extra payday worth £2,025. So just answer the phone, you win the cash. It's that simple. Text YES to 61025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to @ClydeSSB on X now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen are here. I think they're the only two that haven't been mentioned to get in. Help take over at Rangers so far. So let's
Can you imagine?
An unlikely duo, I must say. Let's go back to the phones, bring in Josh, who I'm sure has some thoughts for us. Josh?
How are we doing, guys?
Good.
How are you doing, Josh?
I'm about to ask Scotty something, but I mean, first of all, I can say I don't really have a strong opinion on whether or not we should sack Clement. I mean, the thing is, we get tied up far too much in emotions in these things. because if we look at the facts, right, and in my view, this is a fact, we will finish second, right? We will finish ahead of everyone else. We'll finish probably quite significantly behind Celtic. I don't know if bringing a new manager in at this juncture is going to change anything about that. Is it more worthwhile just to hang on to him and take the bloody nose this season to see how we go in the summer and to see how we go at the start of the next season? I don't know. I mean, obviously, I'm as despondent as the rest of the Rangers support right now around the way that we're playing football, and the results on the road are atrocious. And that is part of what I want to ask Scott. Scott, as a centre midfielder yourself, I've often watched Rangers, particularly on the road this year, and we kind of box ourselves into this kind of horseshoe shape where we go side to side and we go down the wings, and teams can really sit in, be physical at the back, you know, maybe put five at the back and really shore up any kind of balls into the box, and we get trapped and we're unable to score.
Yep.
What I want to know is why do you think that is? Why do you think we have an inability for the centre midfielders to progress the ball in the attacking phase of play through the middle of the pitch? Why do you think we get not scared, but why do you think we lack that that impetus to go from the middle to the front?
Actually, for me watching it, I just think some of the players can't do it. I know that sounds very simple, but for me, I think it's all good when you're playing Celtic, and Celtic are obviously building up and you're looking to jump on them. So when that was part of why the performance was so good against Celtic, cause they didn't really have to play through Celtic. They countered Celtic, they jumped on the slack passes, and then they were already at the back four, so they'd taken out a lot of the bodies that they were playing against, and then they could create from there, especially in the wide areas. I think for me, Rangers don't really have a midfielder, obviously a six or a pivot, as some people call them, who can literally receive the ball and pass in the same motion where a team isn't set up. They don't have that type of player who can do it that quick. That is just the facts for me from watching a lot of Rangers this season. I just don't think they have that profile of player. How, for me, the question is, how do they not have a player like that coming through the academy that can step in and play forward passes quickly? Because in the wider is, they do have players with quality. For me, they have been Rangers' best performers over the last month, but in that central area, I just don't feel technically the players can do that, and they haven't shown that.
Put the wider point to you, Hugh. Josh has been honest about this and sort of questioning, whilst everything will go to the manager's door, that's just unavoidable, that's how football works, does getting rid of him fix this? You know, because if you believe that it changes drastically, then you are essentially saying that he's either the only problem or he's 90% of the problem. I wonder if that is the case.
Well,
Scott's saying they've not got good enough players.
Yeah, I believe that to be the case. You know, individually and occasionally on a collective basis, they do have good players.
Yeah.
But for some reason, they can't go from one game to the next and deliver performances of a similar nature. And the number of away matches not won is laughable when you are Rangers, given that the quality of our league is not particularly high. And for Rangers with these very good players to drop as many points as they have been doing is unfathomable. But Rangers as a club have decided, for whatever reason, that Clement is staying, and therefore results will see the progress of this argument. You know, if he continues to lose away matches, if there is the occasional home defeat, if Celtic eventually win the league by 20 plus points, then I would think at that point logic and reason comes into it. You have to find out then if somebody else can do better, because they cannot possibly countenance another season where Celtic win again by 20 plus points.
Just want to give Josh the final say before we have to take the news. Josh, how big a bloody nose is that then? You know, that's what you referred to as, and then Hugh outlines, you know, what the scenario could look like. How much of a bloody nose are you willing to take?
Yeah, I agree with a lot of points from you. We absolutely cannot have this next season. Under no circumstances can this be allowed to happen next season. I suppose the thing is, we're going through a period of transition, and let's not forget that the damage that Michael Beale did to the playing squad in the club. I do think that Philippe Clement, right, taking away the emotion, I actually do think he's been involved in some pretty good recruitment, he and Nils Coppin, around some of the players that have came in. And there is value in that squad, because as I say in there, you know, individually a lot of the players are quite good, and actually I think they are. So then that's me kind of swaying back to the, well, maybe we should get a new manager thing. And I think I'm kind of waving to one side to the other with the manager right now. My own instinct is saying that I think it would be pointless sacking him right now. I don't see what that achieves other than financial loss.
You can get the freshness coming in the summer.
Mm.
By keeping Philippe Clement at the moment, Josh, you know, you are then entrusting him and Nils Coppin with this transfer window. Therefore, that's another part of the argument.
We'll have to leave it there, but some good points. Well made, Josh. You've got them thinking. 01419511025 is the number to make your point to the panel, but also the number right now for this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, it is Beat the Pundit time. What a way to round off the week by taking on Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen. I think we've had a couple of listener wins, two this week. So it hangs in the balance.
Oh,
you two could be the decider. It's two each.
Have I shot up the table
for
yet?
The week? No, you're bottom of the table, actually.
I've won the last three.
You're bottom on 57%.
You are, so the St. Johnston of Beat the Punch.
We need to get you up that table. Anyway, give us a call before seven and you could play next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen are here. Predictably, last night's result at Dens Park and the fallout dominating so far. So Rangers fans, what are you thinking about the game last night, about the away form, the bigger picture, Philippe Clement, where the club goes? We've heard a fair spread tonight. You know, we've really have heard it all. We've had, what was it, a managerial trio of Barry Ferguson, Kevin Thompson and Lee McCulloch should go in. We've had fans saying they don't even know if it would make much difference in sacking the manager. We've had a bit of everything. So tell us how you're feeling, Rangers fans, right now. Celtic fans, I love it when we just talk about the nitty gritty of team selection. Who should play in Dingwall tomorrow in the absence of Nicholas Kuhn, Daizen Maeda, James Forrest and Luis Palma? So Yang is the only recognised winger. What does that look like? Does Kyogo play out wide? Is it someone like a Luke McCowan? Have you got a more creative solution for us? Alex Vai in front of Greg Taylor, perhaps? You tell us. 01419511025. If you do that right now, we'll get you after we play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. It is important tonight, not going to lie. It's two to the pundits, two to the listeners, which means the week's overall trophy is hinging on tonight with Ryan on the line. How's it going, Ryan?
Aye, not bad, mate, yourself?
Good, thank you. Have you ever played before?
No, first time.
Good. How do you generally fare when you play along at home?
Normally about a 4 and a 5.
I think that sounds fair to me.
Sounds a worry to me.
Take one off it for the pressure of being on radio and having everybody listening to you. That's always a worry, surely.
Yeah. I've always said, pals tell me if I win, I'll get 50 quid.
Oh, right, okay.
He egged me on to come on, so if I win, he's going to give me 50 quid.
Who's he?
Ryan, he's sitting here. Well, he's just left. He's just went through the room now.
The two Ryans.
I brought him up.
He could have stayed next to you and helped you out, but nevertheless, let's move on. Heads, it will be Hugh Keevans. Tails, it will be Scott Allen. And it is, it's tails. It's Scott Allen up against Ryan.
I'll give you 50p if you win.
This 50p that I just tossed. Right, you know the drill, I'm sure, but let's give Scott Allen something else through those headphones. Ryan, you have 30 seconds. You answer as many as you can. And if you'd rather pass and move on, you can do that, okay?
Right,
30 seconds going on the clock. And your time starts now. Who's third in the Scottish Premiership at the moment?
Dundee United.
Vaclav Cherny's on loan to Rangers from which club?
Wilsburg.
Who's the only member of the Celtic squad first team who've played with Aberdeen?
Liam Scales.
What club did Eamon Brophy sign for on loan this week?
Eamon Brophy, who did he sign? Ross County.
Name any Scottish team David Moyes played for.
Celtic.
Who's the current Motherwell club captain?
Liam Gordon.
Let's bring Scott Allen back. Can you hear us?
Yes.
Good, same set of questions. Are you ready?
Yes.
Your time starts now. Who's third in the Scottish Premiership currently?
Aberdeen.
Václav Černý is on loan to Rangers from which club?
Sparta. Oh, it's Italian to pass.
Who's the only member of the Celtic squad who's played for Aberdeen?
Liam Scales.
What club did Eamon Brophy sign for on loan this week?
Falkirk.
Name any Scottish team Davy Moyes has played for?
Celtic.
Who's the current Motherwell club captain?
Paul McGinn.
True or false, no goalkeeper has won the PFA Player of the Year in Scotland?
False.
Okay. What do you think, Ryan?
He's done me.
I'm fascinated because he didn't start very well, did he?
No.
Oh, you were all over the shop at the start. But has he done enough? I thought you were good, Ryan, I have to say, because you knew that Dundee United are third.
I know, that's it. You heard me say that again after it, I know.
Aberdeen famously not third anymore,
know,
that's the point. 1-0 to Ryan. Václav Černý's on loan from Wolfsburg, and Ryan got that as well.
Did he?
He's 2-0 in front. Liam Scales played for Aberdeen. You both got it. So 3-1 to Ryan at this point, and I'm thinking he's looking good for a victory. Then Scott Allen finds his feet a bit. Falkirk is Eamon Brophy's new loan club. He pulls one back. But you both went for Celtic for Davy Moyes or Dunfermline or Hamilton. So he's still got work to do. The current Motherwell club captain is Paul McGinn. Ryan kind of knows his stuff because he said Liam Gordon, he wore it the other night, certainly the armband, but it is Paul McGinn. And it all comes down because you showed a bit more pace. There's a sentence you've not heard in a while. True or false, no goalkeeper has won the PFA Player of the Year in Scotland. It is false. Theo Snelders has won it, and you, Scott Allen, have won it. I cannot believe it. A dreadful start, then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in a row. Ryan only had 4 on the board.
50 quid as well.
Yeah. 50 quid up in smoke, Ryan. I'm so sorry.
I've actually met Scott afore. I've seen him at the Hydro open goal.
Was he behaving?
He was, aye. He was indeed.
Ah, honestly, that's 50 quid.
You just cost him 50
quid.
You just
ruined his weekend.
It's not good enough.
He'll give you 25, Ryan, he says.
I'm not able to get my Chinese tonight now.
He'll PayPal it over. Ryan, you're a Celtic fan?
I am indeed, aye.
Does, you know, because of the way this city works, like Rangers are obviously where they are, you're miles ahead and everything's rosy. Are there any concerns at all going to Dingwall with all those wingers missing tomorrow?
No, I think we'll be alright. I think we'll be fine. 3-0.
Oh, fair enough. That's more than fine. But Hugh, like I said, you're now, and we're all in that territory of, even if Celtic were to drop points, does it matter? How much does it matter? But I think clearly that's quite a big piece of team news when it's all those players all in the same department.
Well, the island grows radical and plays Adamida and Kyogo as a partnership up front, and maybe puts a four-man midfield with McGregor, Hatate, Bernardo, Engels, or whatever. But I think he'll keep it simple. I'd have Kyogo, and on the other wing, I would have that fella.
You're not happy with Yang at all, are you?
I mean, I'd rather have Bobby Lennox.
He's the main man tomorrow. He's the only
Bobby's
fit winger.
The same age as Rod Stewart. But anyway, I think it'd be Kyogo one side, Yang the other, and Adamida through the middle, and that simplifies matters.
Thank you very much to Ryan. What do you think, Celtic fans? What's your solution? Is it as simple as that? Is that the sort of closest to what Celtic would normally do? Just put Kyogo out wide left, keep Adamida up front, or is there something else? Is it a Luke McCowan? Is it something else? You tell us. Maybe you've got a plan up your sleeve. Good time to do it. We'll chat on that right now because we're going to hear from Brendan Rodgers. He has given an update on the fitness or lack of availability of his wingers.
Him and Dyson are doubts for the game, so we just have to finalise where they're at, but both those are doubtful. Not longer term, but should be hopefully okay for Tuesday if they miss out tomorrow. Louis Palma sadly had a bereavement overnight, so he won't travel with the squad. James Forrest still out.
leave you a bit short in the wide areas then against one?
I just think that at this moment in time and throughout the season, there's never a perfect situation, you know, whether it's pitches, whether it's squad, whether it's injuries, or not. You can't wait for everything to be perfect. You know, we got a good squad of players and we'll go into the game and we'll be with the mentality to win, whoever is playing.
Brendan Rodgers also feels it's worth remembering that the 15-point lead that everyone's talking about doesn't really matter, but he claims his side can never take their foot off the pedal.
It doesn't really matter now, if I'm honest. We just have to keep churning out the results and performances. You can only win your games, I think, as I've said before, I repeat, the consistency of which the players have shown is a great testament to them, because that can get overlooked. You know, the focus can always be about team taking points and whatever else, but I can only look at my team and the club as a whole, the consistency and the level of which you can repetitively perform and win and win and win after winning. It's not an easy thing to do. The points gap is there because we've been so consistent. That's the reality of it. Whatever points another team gets, I can look at ourselves and know that the consistency of this team has been very, very good. And when you have that consistency, then in a competition, that can be a big advantage. You know, that resilience, that mentality, that focus in order to get those results that allows you to build that gap. But absolutely, I don't think it's one we can ever take our foot off the pedal.
Come on, John Paul, who's on the line. It's all changed. You're the manager. You're the man in charge tomorrow. How do you solve the issue out wide for Celtic?
I would personally try something different and play 4-4-2 and play Ida and Kyogo, because it's always Ida comes on for Kyogo. And to be fair, they've got a bit of a gap, so I don't see it being too much a risk.
Which four players play in midfield then?
Well, I would play obviously Ingles, McGregor, and I'm just concentrating on the problem is with the winger situation. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Palmer's. I agree with you for once in my life that I'd rather play Rod Stewart out wide.
Poor Yang. I'm sure he's not listening in the bus on the way up.
If you're no good enough, you're no good enough. It's as simple as that.
Scott, because your esteemed colleague is known to extremes, right? So you're calmer. Yang, are you with Hugh Keevans or not? Is there a player in there, as people say?
I've not seen it yet.
No, not at all.
No, not yet. I think obviously when Kuhn was out for a few games, there was a bit of emphasis on Yang, maybe take the bull by the horns and go and put a performance on, but just not the same level as Kuhn or Maeda for me.
I know why fans do it, and it's not to say it's wrong, but you know, John Paul saying just play 4-4-2.
Be amazed if Brendan Rodgers plays 4-4-2.
My assumption would be, especially with managers like that and the way they work, it is going to be so repetitive. It is all about fine tuning that system so that it works to its absolute maximum capability at all times. Do you not then try and stay as close to it as possible?
And that's what he'll do.
That's where consistency comes from, the belief in his structure.
Yeah, you don't deviate too much.
Would that actually change much? You know, and again, I know why fans do it. John Paul's just got excited there. He's gone 4-4-2, so that way we can play Ida and Kyogo. Maybe we still need to pick four midfielders then, and where does the width? Because essentially, you're still picking a left winger or, you know, left-sided midfielder.
There is no facsimile where Maeda is concerned. You know, incredible energy. The closest you'll get to it's Kyogo. So I'd have him out there. Yang, I'm glad that Scott said what he did. I can't see it. And I think he's Brendan Rodgers' blind spot. But I've a certain sympathy for Celtic and all of the clubs at this particular time, because Celtic finish Wednesday night against Dundee United. Thursday, they do whatever they do. Friday, they take the bus to Dingwall. They kick off at 12:30 tomorrow. It's a bit of a slog. Stuart Kettlewell touched on it this morning as well. How can players peak as often as that, and what dangers are there inherent in that kind of run when it comes to players getting injured. But anyway, Celtic don't need sympathy from me or anybody else. That's why they're 15 points clear. He'll persevere with Yang. I know he will. But Imlet Scott, I've yet to see what it is he brings to the team.
I mean, you say that, you know, he's got a blind spot for Yang, but to be fair, if Nicholas Kuhn's injured and James Forrest is injured, mm-hmm. and Lewis Palmer's had a family bereavement, which we hope is, you know, we'd wish him well there, you can have to play him. You know, it's not if he was picking him ahead of Nicholas Kuhn, you could maybe use that phrase about a blind spot. But Brendan Rodgers said today, Scott, that the wide areas was something they were looking at anyway, you know, before mm-hmm. this injuries. Is that something you'd expect in this window?
Yeah, I would expect it. I think, obviously, we've touched on Yang, and when you do, listen, there's no getting away when you're without Kuhn and Maeda. Celtic aren't the side that we have seen this year. Can you then find players who can come in and show a quality? It's not going to be as good as that for me, I don't think, at this moment in time, but a player who can come in and make a real difference in the side, like we touched on, Yang hasn't done that. But listen, Celtic are in a good place. I know Brendan Rodgers touches on the cushion doesn't mean that's a bit consistent. For me, when you have a 15 point cushion, you can afford for the odd game not to have your two star players.
Hugh Keevan says pick the Celtic team. There's a sentence that should never be uttered. He thinks just put Kyogo in the Maeda role, do what you need to do with Yang, and Adameda leads the line and it stays pretty close. Is that you think
he'll
go?
I think Kyogo's got the football IQ to go and play there and still affect the game. You can still obviously get your width from your fullback, whether that's Taylor or Valle. You'd expect Celtic to have most of the ball. So
is that the most likely solution?
I think so, because he can play. I think if he was to play, though, he's not going to be getting chalk in his boots. He's going to be coming into the pockets and looking to link up with Adameda, and then obviously getting your bid from one of your fullbacks. So yeah, I could see him slotting there, no problem.
Thanks, John Paul. What about Scott, who's on the other line? How are you, Scott?
How are you doing, all right?
Any suggestions for Celtic's winger situation?
Well, I think he'll probably go with the same formation tomorrow, like you're saying, probably keep the continuity. Mm-hmm. I think he'll probably play McCowan off the right or Yang off the left. I've seen people suggesting that maybe go three at the back and two up top and this kind of stuff, but I don't think he'll risk playing three first team centre halves with a young boys game on the horizons. So you'll probably see Johnny Kenny on the bench.
Yep, it's a possibility, yeah.
And the other point I was calling to make was they're talking about, obviously there's this issue they're now going on with the future about the Celtic left backs, Greg Taylor situation, Alex Valle situation, Kieran Tierney. And then we're also looking at left wingers for backup for Dyson Maeda. I think to myself, well, there's Nicky Cadden there who'd fill the homegrown quota, could cover left back, could cover left wing. You just get player of the month. Could be quite probably available for about what, 1.5 million, and it'd be quite a similar signing to what Johnny Hayes was, but Brendan Rodgers made when he was in 2017.
Oh, good. Let's put this to Mr. Hibbs. See how the Hibbs fans like him when he punts Nicky Cadden to Celtic. What do you think?
Yeah, I'd be surprised if that happened, but I can see why.
He's been really good, hasn't he?
Yeah, that's what my next point. He's been the catalyst to Hibs' resurgence, the quality on the ball, the set pieces, the hand in so many goals, and I think it's one of the games, I think it was Aberdeen, magnificent free kick. So I can see why he's obviously catching the attention of fans, but I think for Hibs, he's a must keep at this moment.
Brendan Rodgers has dabbled in that sort of market before,
yeah.
Hugh.
Yeah, well, Luke McCowan for a start. And Luke McCowan has never let him down. It's an interesting one. Not a name I expected to come out of the ether.
I know.
Hibs will want the bidding started at 4 million.
4 million.
Hibs fans will be on. They won't be happy with Scott's suggestion. I love it, Scott. Honestly, one of my favourite types of call. It's January. You can throw any name you want in here. That is the point of it. So thank you very much. That was Scott in Law on 01419511025. You can join in on that debate, Celtic fans. How do you think the team will look? Is there any worry attached to that fixture now? We saw the previous trip to Dingwall, didn't have it all your own way. And in fact, was Nicholas Kuhn one of the catalysts for getting Celtic over the line that day? He won't be there. Yeah. Maybe the same jeopardy's not there anyway because of the points gap. But do let us know. And Rangers fans, I can see it. I know there are so many of you still chomping at the bit. So get in touch. We'll speak to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to @ClydeSSB on X now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans is here. Scott Allen is alongside him. Yes, you're unlikely for a Friday night duo, but they're best pals these days, honestly. The amount of time these two spend together on a Friday evening.
Got the same coat on today as well.
I noticed that. I don't know how Scott Allen style icon feels about that. Or do you like that bit of class from Hugh? You both come in with a sort of similar long black coat, didn't you?
Yeah, he's looking the part tonight.
In fact, he's actually dressed quite similar, I would say. Yeah. Anyway, that's just for those watching on the live stream. If this is the way you get your kicks on a Friday night, then fair play to you. Give us a call whether you're looking back on Rangers situation or taking suggestions of how Celtic should respond to a fairly unexpected scenario where they have next to no wingers available for tomorrow and anything else that is out there. Let me give you this teaser, which apparently, Hugh, is all for you.
Oh.
Jerry and Erskine sent it in. Your favourite team, the Seagulls. Can you name 9 players since the 18-19 season who've been on the books of both Brighton and one of the Old Firm teams? Now I'm just looking at the time frame here. Do they need to have done both of those things since 18-19? Yes, I think so.
Shane Duffy.
Yep.
Matt Riley.
Yep. I'm thinking Jerry's been a bit sneaky here. It's not the way we would usually do the teaser. He wants emphasis on the books, so that they might not have made a first team appearance. But that only applies to a couple of them. The rest, you're fine.
How many do we have?
2.
2 of the 9.
Been on the books. Celtic and Brighton.
I've got one.
Go for it.
Played for Israel, midfield and Celtic.
Correct.
Begins with a B.
Berayam.
Sort of. I'm going to need more.
Come on, Hugh.
That's kind of his first name.
Beram Kaya.
There we go. Okay, yeah. We'll get back to it. Thanks to Jerry and Erskine for sending it in to fulltime@clyde1.com. You can do that as well. Send a question in and we'll use it on the show to test out the pundits on the full time teaser. Let's bring in John, who's a Rangers fan. John, how would you describe your feelings on everything related to your club at the moment?
It's just the club's in a bad place, and it really is. We've got the same amount of goal difference as we have games played. That is shocking within itself. I really don't understand how Philip Clement's in a job. It's actually more embarrassing that he's still in a job than what it would be if he got fired. It just shows that there's either only one or two reasons that he's still in the job. Either the board can't afford to sack him, or they're waiting to see if he gets kicked out of the cup, and then they can release him so they doesn't meet his minimum requirements.
Listen, I know the Rangers bar has come down, but they're surely not going to get put out of the cup
by Fraserburgh.
Now that, Hugh Evans, would be a story. I don't know how many consecutive hours we would have to broadcast a show if that was to happen. So you'd be
the B team beat the same phase of a team that the first team will be playing.
You'd be amazing. You'd be amazed if that was part of the reason Philippe Clement was still in a job, to wait and see what happens in the cup. It cannot be that. Yeah, unless, do you mean the next round, John?
No, well, I wasn't meaning we'd get beat by Fraser, but what I was meaning is like, well, they're waiting for him to get knocked out of the cup because then he would have failed to meet his minimum requirements. I'm just flabbergasted as why he's still there. Although I don't think hiring a new manager is going to immediately rectify the situation, but it couldn't make it any worse. I don't see why he's still there compared to Michael Beale and Giovanni Brand Bonkhorst, who actually done better than him, and he's still there. They've backed the Ryan guy, and I think they'll just try to hide the egg on their faces.
Do you, like, I've seen this mentioned before, that if this was Giovanni Van Bronckhorst or if this was Michael Beale, then he'd be gone by now. I'm not saying it makes it right to keep Philippe Clement, but at some point, is the next guy always going to get more time, if that makes sense?
Like, no.
But that's not you saying that the manager always has to go after that period of time. And if anything, you're maybe learning from previous mistakes. And with every trigger that you pull quickly, you can't keep pulling the trigger as quickly.
Yeah.
So maybe Philippe Clement's benefiting from that. Again, I'm not saying it's right, but is it not almost inevitable that he was going to get more time than Michael Beale, if that makes sense?
I think Rangers are probably trying to come to terms with what has gone on here, because they thought they had the man, and the early expectations have proved to be false. Until such time as someone from Rangers says, well, do you know what? The truth of the matter is we can't afford to let him go. Then that is guesswork. I think Rangers, I have to imagine, believe that there is still a manager in there, and they want that manager, and they want the recruitment that Niels Koppen brings, and they still believe that at some point this turns around. It won't be this season, therefore you have to start with them next season. And if it progresses in the manner in which it did at the start of this season, then how can Rangers possibly justify the continuation of his contract?
I think the fact that at the start of the season and Philippe Clement had said that wait till October and then November, I think the first real performance, especially domestically, was against Celtic, and that was the catalyst. I think Rangers fans were thinking, like, that's us in a much better place, and we're now going to start to go on an upward trajectory, and it's just not came around that way. I think that is why the alarm bells are massively ringing now. That was, he had said that at the start of the season. There hasn't really been a lot of progress out with the obviously European games and the Celtic game in isolation. The consistency isn't there and the performances aren't there.
What do you think, John Hughes, saying that, you know, the board must feel, or perhaps feel, that there is a manager in there? You're not having that?
It reminds me too much of Paul Le Guin. He really does, and that's bringing back a name I never thought I'd mention again. It's so many things that he does as well. I don't get why he was playing Ross McCausland as a right back towards the end. I think he was flinging everything at the window and he hoped something would stick. It just wasn't happening for him. And they had that wee purple patch where he managed to get a winning formation going. And then he's like, no, I want to go back to my one up front because that's my dream. I don't get what we're doing here as Rangers. I really don't. I think we're in danger of finishing below third if it keeps going the way it is.
I think you're possibly panicking a little with that comment, because they have decent players, and, you know, if they fell to that league position, then the club would have a moral obligation to let them go. I have to believe that within Ibrox, they believe that Philippe Clement will come good.
Do you think Aberdeen's collapse has helped then?
Yes.
Because, yes, you can all, of course, argue that the gap's too big and the gap could be closer, but ultimately, everybody expected Rangers to finish second. They're probably going to finish second. You know, right now, as an example, if we were here on the 10th of January and they were still below Aberdeen and did that last night, I think that would it change anything?
Without question. Aberdeen's collapse has been a major help. At one point, they were 9 points ahead of Rangers, and then you go into a phase where you get 3 points from a possible 30. So that has helped Rangers.
The finish second with a home form in itself.
Yeah. I mean, tonight's bad enough with people suggesting who should be the next manager and demanding that he goes, and the Rangers Supporters Association and all the things that are going on. If he wasn't even second in the league, I think he really would have been gone by now.
Like I say, just a hypothetical, because Aberdeen have done what they've done and the picture has changed, I suppose, there. It's going to be still an interesting period. John, thank you for sharing your thoughts. That was John in Cumbernauld, on 01419511025. You know, John's accusations, Scott, about just sort of randomly picking players, and I think Philippe Clement would say, and he would be justified up to a point. Rangers have got injuries and absences in an already probably substandard squad in terms of pushing at the top, but you still get where they're coming from, you know, out the stage where, you know, Rabbi Matondo is. I mean, where has he been? And I know then that feeds into the picture about injuries. Have injuries cleared up, actually, the way Philippe Clement wanted to? Have they got worse? Rabbi Matondo comes on to try and rescue something. McCausland goes on. It's messy.
I think you could maybe spare him a thought if they didn't get that performance against Celtic. The fact that they went out with a depleted squad and could show that level of performance. That's where the fans obviously took the hope from. They've then not followed that up.
Because judging by the social media reaction as the game was going last night, what a turnaround in a week in the Rangers fans' mind from Ridvan Yilmaz. Praise to the high heavens against Celtic, and understandably so. Went in out of position, didn't have, you know, any problem up against Daizen Maeda, which has been a problem area for Celtic in Celtic Rangers games. And then all I saw last night, 1 week later, was slaughtering of Ridvan Yilmaz on there.
The scattering gun comes out. Easter Road was a real blow to the Rangers fans because it was in the immediate aftermath of the win over Celtic. And they reverted to type, and they gave away points away from home, having been two up at one point. So the scattered gun's out for everybody now, except Egerman.
Yeah, but more than that then, Scott, is that, I suppose every individual would see things differently, but in terms of going from that short term to the bigger picture, I don't know, last Thursday, do Rangers fans think Yilmaz is the answer in some sort of way? You know, we had a debate in the show and saying, well, you certainly need to keep them in for the foreseeable. And now all of a sudden he's the prime example of the level that Rangers are at and the work that they still need to do. It's all a bit knee-jerk.
Yeah, it is knee-jerk, but I think that's just where we are with modern football. I think, obviously, with the social media, then everybody can voice their opinions, and rightly so. I think he had a really poor game last night. But for me, that is just, individually, he had a poor game, but where Rangers are as a team is so inconsistent that you're going to get performances like that. Well, 1 week, one guy's, I'll take Raskin, for instance, against Celtic, best player on the park, against Hibs at Easter Road. I thought he had a really poor game. I think that's just where Rangers are.
A very small point from last night in comparison to big issues like the manager's future and title credentials and that stuff, but is that the final nail in Leon King's coffin for now? Certainly, you know,
he needs to go out and play.
You know, and Siala now come in to start in front of him.
Yeah, I mean, Ntiala, 20 years old, coming from French, but coming from Italian football, to be Leon King come on at Easter Road and immediately left out altogether. He needs to go and play football because it's not, certainly under Philippe Clement, it's not going to happen for him.
Yeah, for me, I think that's quite damning of the Rangers Academy that a guy like Leon King obviously comes on against Hibs, couldn't really do much with the goals in my eyes, and then Nsiala comes in and he's nowhere to be seen. So for me,
he didn't do anything particularly wrong, did he? In isolation,
Simon Murray standing on his foot.
Well, yeah,
he might have been penalised for that.
But for just taking Leon King, he needs to go and play games because there is a player in there.
Okay, still time for you to call 01419511025. We've got some Friday night football as well. The Accies, Partick Thistle, should be an interesting one, especially on the back of that very sore home defeat that Partick Thistle received last weekend. How are you two doing on this teaser? We're looking for 9 players since the 18-19 season who've been on the books of both Brighton and one of the Old Firm teams. Stressed that phrase there by Gerry and Erskine. Matt O'Reilly, Shane Duffy, Behram Kayal,
Jamie Murphy.
Yes. Any more from you, Shug?
Glenn Leuvens.
No. I'm afraid not. Well, you're just thinking of teams that play in blue and white.
Yeah, sorry. That's a bit rash, that.
Nothing. Nothing coming to mind.
Was Balogun at Bright?
He was. That's a good shout. We've got a couple to get, a few to get, and we will get them next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
That's us in the final part then of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. By us, I mean Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen, who are here as well. You could still squeeze a call in. I can see messages coming in. Mari wants to see Kyogo out wide. And Yang out wide with Ida up front for
That's
Celtic
said,
tomorrow.
Yeah. Smart girl, Mary.
Never good when you're copying Hugh Keevans, it has to be said. But there we go. How are you doing on tonight's teaser, you two? And please, our nightly plea, we need you. That's the point of the full-time teaser. You come up with the question. You email it in to fulltime@clyde1.com and we try and catch out the pundits with your question. So Gerry and Erskine asked tonight, can you name the nine players since the 18-19 season who've been on the books of both Brighton and one of the Old Firm teams? He's been a bit sneaky because there are a couple here who he's leaning into the on the books. They've maybe not made an appearance, but some are more obvious. Matt O'Reilly, Shane Duffy, Jamie Murphy, Behram Kayal and Leon Balogun.
Who have I got there? I've got Conor Goldson.
Yes.
And Seema.
Yes, so that's one of the... I don't think he's played for Brighton,
yeah,
did he? But either way, he's on the list. So you've got two to get. One with a Celtic link, one with a Rangers link. Okay. Friday night football, the all-weather pitch at the Ackies is holding up because it is absolutely Baltic out there. But the Ackies against Partick Thistle Hugh, I mean, both obviously need it, but I'm just thinking back to the reaction on the phones last week. Well, when Dunfermline, who couldn't buy a win away from home, went and battered Thistle 4-1 at Fir Hill.
Yeah,
you could be doing with something tonight.
Oh, you've got to bounce back. You absolutely have to bounce back. Otherwise, fingers are pointed at Chris Doolan, the manager. They've got to remain in contention for a top four place. Even if you finish fourth, you're disadvantaging yourself because you play more than anyone else in the playoffs. But one game at a time, the priority for Partick Thistle tonight, a win.
I like it. The battle of the two number nines. Brian Graham, friend of the show, second top scorer in the championship, leading the line for Thistle. Ollie Shaw, top scorer in the championship, leading the line for the Ackies. What colour, how would we describe that Ackies strip? It's not one I'm aware of. It's not one I had seen before. I don't know if that passes the fashion test from you two, who I know have high standards. How would we describe that? Thistle are in their away strip as well, veering, the kind of black.
Veering on gold, is it?
We're going gold. I think you're being generous. But anyway, that's not exactly the most pressing matter for tonight. But the Ackies taking on Partick Thistle in Hamilton, so looking forward to that greatly. Just thinking about the sort of injury news that we're talking about for Celtic tomorrow, and the wingers situation. How's this for a selection headache? Motherwell, you heard about this?
No.
Aston Oxborough plays every game, played every single game this season, taken over from Liam Kelly in goal, struggling, shall we say.
Right.
They have a number two. He's been there all season, except West Ham are recalling him because he's not played. So how'd you do that? Who's Andy Halliday? Is he any good?
No.
When you played in the park with Andy as kids, did he ever take his shot in goal?
We used to argue who wasn't getting goals.
So he can't go in. So reports tonight suggesting they are trying to sign, for some reason his name escapes me, Archie Mayer from Norwich. It'd have to be a very quick...
We've seen that quite a few times over the years, though, where they've managed to get an emergency goalkeeper in.
It's just typical that, though, isn't it? Like
newspaper man's dream. If your goalkeeper's name is Mayer, nightmare.
Yeah, I can see. Well, hopefully not, if you don't mind me saying, but that typical, isn't it? You know, if you like, Aston Oxborough's fit and available all season, and then the minute he's not, the number two is getting recalled because he's not had the chance to play. So West Ham are looking to send him somewhere
on
else.
On the old school theme of put the biggest boy in goal, Tony Watt. Yeah, I mean,
incidentally, we spoke about the KMI panel earlier, and it's funny, it only gets headlines when they're perceived to have got something wrong. The KMI panel backed Tony Watt 5-0 on the Slobodan Rubicic incident.
I said to you at the time on the programme last weekend that he motions his head, Rubicic motions his head towards Tony Watt, not once but twice. And afterwards, when Jimmy Thielen spoke about emotional control, that told me all I needed to know, that Jimmy Thielen himself thought, well, there's no way you escape a red card for that. So he really has to calm down, or he's a waste of time because he'll spend more games watching than playing.
I've said it before, it only makes headlines when the KMI panel say their mistake's been made. They believe all the decisions from the last couple of rounds have been correct.
Yeah.
Interestingly, I don't think the Simon Murray one last night was on it, actually. Maybe that wasn't included. Let me double check that for you. But apart from that, they did think that everything was correct from the last couple of rounds of fixtures, which took in, like I say, that Tony Watt one, took in the Yanis Hadji Easter Road incident, and so on. Right, anything else that jumps out at you from tomorrow? I mean, think that would have been an interesting fixture anyway, Mr. Hibbs, because they are rejuvenated and flying.
Yep.
Motherwell you know, we spoke about Rangers' expectations earlier. Yeah. I've been fascinated this week because the league table makes really, really good reading if you're a Motherwell fan. And especially, you know, the normal issues of trying to punch above your weight budget-wise, you know, losing Blair Spittle and Theo Bear in the summer and all that stuff, and yet real criticism for the style of play at Kilmarnock the other night. It was a 1-1 draw, a 0-0 draw, sorry. Real negativity around about the way, you know, the way they played and so on. And no, there's no right or wrong. I'm not saying I'm disagreeing with it, but if you are Stuart Kettlewell and you know that your main job is just to try and climb that table, you must be a bit frustrated. But then fans want entertained. You know, we've been this, in fact, we'll be having this discussion with Celtic this season, never mind Motherwell.
So sometimes the smart managers play the card they're dealt and see what type of players they have. They can then look to strengthen come summer by finishing in a good position and being quite consistent this year, which you'll obviously look to do, because every guy that's played football and Kettlewell did will want to have some sort of entertainment in their style. That game the other night was one to forget, I think, for both sides. It was such a poor quality game. I think the only highlight that I kind of seen from it this week on social media was Andy getting nutmegged.
I was going to say, talk about entertainment. But you must have loved that, your old pal, because it's still good when embarrassing things happen to your pals, isn't it?
Yeah, it was quite funny.
And did they react exactly how you expected them to, by just hauling Lewis Mayo to the ground?
Yeah, I think that's the kind of old school, isn't it? Somebody obviously takes the pee out, yeah, as they would say. Then just bring them down.
Where do you stand in Rocky Buschiri?
That's entertainment.
Yeah, it's Marmite, isn't it?
The talk of a new contract, and his performance against the Rangers last Sunday, at one point,
the biggest one for me, Hugh, was obviously the mistake he makes that leads to the goal.
Yeah,
and then he does the exact same thing like 70 minutes later, which I just can't understand how the thought process, because naturally you go, I just gave away a goal doing that mistake, so you just put your foot through it, kick it into Rose Head, do whatever you need to do.
You missed my best joke of the weekend.
All right, go on, tell me.
Gordon DL said, I'd play Martin Boyle in defence just to get Buschiri up front and out the way, and I said, I'd play Susan Boyle.
Well, he popped up with a crucial moment.
He did, yeah. But as Scott said, you know, he's unforgivable. You know, the time he takes, and the when he was robbed by Eggerman and Eggerman hit the post, well, it would have been his fourth goal of the game. And you think, how do you get a game?
St Mirren, Dundee United, as you heard on Beat the Pundit, of course, Dundee United up there in third, they probably did about as well as anybody does at Celtic Park. You just take that and move on, don't you, as long as it's not a heavy one.
Did they leave Sam
Dolby on the bench?
Yeah, did they leave him there? I know that you get the usual comments, he's playing Celtic, so he leaves out the Premiership's top goal scorer, leaves him on the bench. I assume it was with an eye on this game.
Yeah, and I don't know what extreme St Mirren want to swing to, Scott. I mean, that was a brilliant three consecutive wins away to St Johnstone, away to Ross County, at home to Rangers, and then they've lost the three since. Obviously one was at Celtic Park, so I guess no shame in that. It is in Paisley. How do you see that one?
St Mirren are a funny one. It just depends what they're like on the day. They do have players who can cause you problems, but listen, I like the job that Stephen Robinson's done in there. He's brought a consistency to St Mirren over the last few seasons that they hadn't had previously, so I would fancy St Mirren.
Yeah, I'd go along with that.
Okay, what else have we got in the Premiership? It's a bit of a split this weekend as well, because we've got the fixtures over
Aberdeen
Sunday.
Aberdeen Hearts,
yeah.
Huge game.
When was the last time Aberdeen failed to win in any of 11 games in the bounce?
Now that I don't know, but it's incredible now that
I know.
Oh, do you? Go on then.
Yeah.
Tell us.
2011, Mark McGee was a manager.
Going seriously back. So the crazy thing is, if Hearts were to win that, they would go within 8 points of Aberdeen.
I know.
Eight's still a decent enough gap, but that just, the way that's closed up.
I assume that Aberdeen, having signed two players, will immediately put them into the team on Sunday. Because if ever a team needed an injection of fresh life, it's that one.
Right, no goals in the Hamilton Partick game yet. Can you name 9 players since the 18-19 season who've been on the books of both Brighton and one of the Old Firm teams? Matt O'Reilly, Leon Balogun, Shane Duffy, Jamie Murphy, Connor Goldson, Beran Kayal and Abdallah Sima. I think he's the on the books. He's one of them that, that ticks that box.
Is one a Rangers defender previously?
No.
He's not a defender.
Who's the... This one is very much on the books. So never played for Rangers, but you have 100% heard of him. It's not like he's some unknown. So was at Rangers. He's very well known for having been at Rangers, but never played for age reasons, really. And then went to Brighton. I mean, he'd be arguably the best player on this list, the most high profile.
Billy Gilmore.
Billy Gilmore. There we go. People are now going to argue with me that somebody's better than Billy Gilmore on this list. It wasn't the point of the discussion. What about the last one? Celtic midfielder, played for Brighton, Australian. Came up to Celtic as a veteran and ended
Aaron
up doing
Moy.
Doing a very good job is what I was going to say. Aaron Moy. You know that way you get to the
good
Friday
player,
night,
really
it's 8 o'clock and you think, oh no, I've just not had enough Hugh Keevans for one weekend. Well, fear not, because not only is he on tomorrow, 6-hour special on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We've not done any on a Saturday, or certainly not many, but back with a bang on that front. 12 noon, it's going to be freezing. Get the door shut, the curtains closed, the feet up, and join us all afternoon here on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. The GBX is up next.